Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
be an artist,
be an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Loretta, could you get back, please? Get back, Loretta. Thank you. 76 degrees right now, going up to 88, 50% chance for showers today, 80% tomorrow, 35% chance on Friday. That's in advance of a little cool front that's going to lower the temperatures to the mid-80s, which is better than the 90s, and the humidity should be down. It's going to be that way all the way through next week up until next Thursday when we have another chance for showers, highs in the mid-80s. So we are getting in October, getting close to October. Thankfully, hurricane season's still quiet, so we'll take it. Justin Buechler joins us, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University, to talk about the looming government shutdown. How you doing, Professor?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm all right. Let me read from a New York Times article here. Trump accused radical left Democrats of making unserious and ridiculous demands in return for their votes. He won't meet with them unless they get serious about the future of our nation. Hakeem Jeffries says Republicans are extremists who are prepared to shut down the government because they're unwilling to address the Republican health care crisis that is devastating America, that Trump is running away from the negotiating table before he even gets there. So apparently they're... The rhetoric is running high, as it always does. What are we talking practically here for the taxpayers of America?
So, the shutdown show has been renewed. What we're talking about practically is that fiscal year ends on September 30th. And so if we don't have spending bills by October 1st, then we get to this rolling shutdown. So what we're talking about is the same thing that we see at least every year, sometimes more than once a year, because we get the sequence of continuing resolutions. And in practical terms, what's happening is that what's different this time is that the Republicans this time are asking for a clean continuing resolution. And what that means is that they want 7 weeks of just continuing spending at the current levels with some minor adjustments. And this time it's the Democrats who have asked for something on top of the clean continuing resolution. And that's the switch. Usually it's the other way around. Usually it's the Democrats who want a clean continuing resolution and the Republicans who make some additional demands. This time it's a little flipped. So we're waiting to see who blinks, and it's the same thing that we see pretty much every time. Somebody demands a clean continuing resolution. The other party wants some sort of concession, and we see who blinks first. Usually what happens is that the party that demands the clean continuing resolution wins. The side that makes the demand has to cave.
So when it comes to... rhetoric aside, they're both playing the same game with this so-called clean continuing resolution, right? It depends on who wants what when?
Pretty much. But this, whichever party is trying to get something on top of the clean continuing resolution, they almost never get it.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the party that just wants a clean continuing resolution gets it.
Because the public views it as it's working, don't change anything, just kick the can down the road?
The way that it tends to play out is that the side that's making an additional demand is seen to be the side that's pushing for a shutdown and trying to take some sort of fiscal hostage. Mm. And if the public sees you in that way, then the public is going to blame you for the shutdown. And so what we see in these scenarios is that it's a game where each party is trying to play for public opinion. And if you're seen as the party causing the shutdown, then you take the blame. So whichever party is taking the blame is the party that has to cave. So whoever is making an additional demand is the party that takes the blame and then has to cave.
So what do the Democrats want? Do we know?
Yeah, so the main thing that they want is that some of the Obamacare subsidies are going to expire if they are not extended. And so they're trying to put that in as a condition for backing a continuing resolution.
Expire when, Professor, can I ask?
Yeah, they will expire. I really should have a date.
Not at the end of the fiscal year, though, right?
I'm sorry. I actually don't remember that. I should remember that right now, and I'm sorry I don't.
But it's not at the end of the fiscal year, is it? It's not September 30th?
I'm sorry. I don't remember that.
Okay.
I should remember that.
That's all right. Keep on.
Yeah. Okay. So the Democrats are pushing for extensions of some of the Obamacare subsidies. And the Obamacare subsidies will, or some of them will expire.
It's December 31st, Professor, just so you know. I looked it up.
Okay, good. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's not in play here. You can kick it down, you kick the can down the road for 7 weeks on this. Democrats trying to exert some political pressure to get it done now. But again, if you got the clean continuing resolution for 7 weeks, nothing's going to change as far as that goes for now, for the 7 weeks.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's happening is that the Democrats are trying to use the threat of a shutdown to get an extension on those subsidies. But we've seen this. And in fact, if you look back at what Senator Ted Cruz tried to do right before a bunch of Obamacare came into effect. So if you remember the way Obamacare was written, a lot of Obamacare didn't come into effect for a few years. So Obamacare passed in 2010, and then there were a few years before it came into effect. Didn't come into effect mostly until 2014. So right before that, Ted Cruz forced a government shutdown, saying that if Republicans could force a shutdown and force Democrats to repeal Obamacare, or at least a bunch of Obamacare, then it wouldn't come into effect and it would be easier to stop it. And of course, the Republicans had to cave at that time. So what's going on right now is basically the reverse of this, because some of the Obamacare subsidies are set to expire, and the Democrats are now trying to force a government shutdown in order to extend some of those subsidies. So everything is basically reversed.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. I found it interesting because they're called Obamacare subsidies, and I get that. But if you were to call them health care subsidies, I wonder if the public would view it differently. We'll talk about how the public views these subsidies when we return. And ultimately, on December 31st of this year, if people are going to lose these subsidies, who is likely to be hit by this? And along those lines, who cares? I don't mean that in a pejorative way. I just mean who actually does really care about this as an issue. 621 traffic now, WWL. 626, Tommy Tucker, WWL, same old song and dance here, talking about the threat of a government shutdown, this time September 30th. That's when the fiscal year ends. They're looking for a continuing resolution, so-called clean continuing resolution, which Professor Justin Buechler, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University, if I have this right, means they don't change anything. It just goes forward for 7 weeks. We extend it, right?
Basically, yeah, there can be some minor adjustments, but it's basically a continuing current spending level.
So is the big sticking point right now those Obamacare / healthcare subsidies? And if they are, I just wonder what the polling shows on this and where they got people that might be Republicans that might fall into the Venn diagram of subsidies and Republicans where they don't realize that they might be against something that's going to hurt them.
So, yeah, that is the big sticking point. The polling on Obamacare has shifted significantly since Obamacare passed in 2010. If you remember, originally the polls were consistently pretty negative, mm-hmm. but over time, once it came into effect, the polls shifted somewhat more positively. Right now, we don't have a lot of polling on Obamacare named that way. We just don't do polls as consistently, mm-hmm. but there are a lot of people who are on subsidies because there are a bunch of different parts of Obamacare. So, for example, a lot of the subsidies are done through Medicaid. Then there are the private subsidies that people get when they're not eligible for Medicaid, but they can't afford private insurance. And so that's kind of the sticking point right now. And those are relatively popular. So given that they are relatively popular, there may be a little bit of a backlash if those go out of effect. But we don't have the same kind of regular polling that we had back in the teens after Obamacare passed. But it's not the case that Obamacare is anywhere near as popular as, for example, Social Security and Medicare. However, if people lose a benefit that they used to have, they tend to get really angry.
Well, these subsidies help. It's not Medicaid, and it's not really a giveaway. It helps people that are working that don't have insurance through their company that would otherwise not be able to afford insurance, right? And as I understand it, what this has proven, correct me if I'm wrong, is that forget the mandate, that was ruled illegal, which was part of Obamacare, which was not popular, but it did prove that if insurance is affordable, people will buy it. Am I wrong in that?
Generally speaking, yes. There are some people who won't. So there is still a gap. There's some people who don't buy health insurance, mm-hmm. but there are people who did want to buy insurance but couldn't afford it. And so that's basically what the subsidies cover. And the fact that the mandate was ruled, or rather was repealed, means there's still a gap, and that does cause at least some actuarial issues, but there would be people who would lose coverage.
And I just wonder how that's going to play out if the Republicans don't move on this, and then at the end of the year people lose their health care, and then we go into the midterms. I can't believe that would be something they'd want, is it?
There would be some people who would be unhappy, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Professor. I appreciate your time. Justin Buechler, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University. If you're on the left, you think the right is out to destroy the world. If you're on the right, you think the left is out to destroy the world. The truth is somewhere in between. We come back, we'll talk about the world being destroyed, or at least preventing it. A Middle East expert will join us about Israel's latest offensive and where the war stands. 6:30, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Enos in. 6:44, 16 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. We're going to talk about the Middle East now, what with the meeting going on in New York and so forth. Bruce Jenelson is our guest, a professor of public policy, political science at Duke University. He's our friend. He previously worked in the State Department and on the Middle East peace process, so he's not just looking at this from an ivory tower. He's been there. He's done that. He knows the players involved and the countries, et cetera. How you doing, Bruce?
I'm doing okay, Tommy. Hope you are.
I am okay, sir. Good to talk to you again. Let's talk about Palestinian statehood, because that phrase has been used for a long, long time. Maybe people don't know what that means. What would that be? What does Palestinian statehood mean?
Yeah, you know, go back to after World War II, 1947-48, the United Nations issued a policy that there'd be two states created in what used to be the British colony of Palestine. One would be Israel and one would be Palestine. And so the origins of what's called the two-state solution go way back then. It obviously hasn't been achieved. The closest it came was in the 90s with what was called the Oslo process, because the Norwegians kicked it off, but the Americans really ran it. And there was really an effort to get to that, and it didn't happen, fault on all sides. And since then, it's just gone in the other direction. You know, we've had Hamas, we've had October 7th, we've had the Netanyahu government, the war that it's conducting. We've had the Israeli settlers taking over the West Bank, which is supposed to be part of that state. But anyway, it has a long history, and it still remains a goal.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
So going back to the 1940s when they talked about Palestine and Israel and what used to be the colony of Palestine, did they carve out territory for Israel? Did they carve out territory for the Palestinians or not?
They did. And many of the Arab countries in the region, you know, Egypt and Jordan and Syria and a bunch of others, didn't want a state of Israel at all. Mm-hmm. So they declared war to try to make sure that didn't happen. On the Israeli side, they did, you know, kind of sort of expand the area that was the original United Nations lines and stuff. But that was the first war. I mean, there are wars going way back to the Bible, but the first war since there was an effort to try to create a state of Israel and a state of Palestine.
I know this is speculation, but, you know, you need to know the history of this for the context and so forth. If the Arab nations had not objected, if everybody could have played nice in the 1940s, how would the world have been different?
It'd been a lot different. Most, you know, probably, you know, a good portion of the wars that have happened since 1945, 48 have been in the Middle East. My own view is that it would have been a better life, not just for Palestinians, but for Israelis. I can't tell you how many Israeli friends and colleagues I have now that are in the streets trying to get Prime Minister Netanyahu to, you know, end this war in Gaza, bring the hostages home, and realize that while Israel has a lot of military power, it can help its security, it can't achieve it on its own, and ultimately you need a political and diplomatic process, and that's coming from lots of Israelis.
All right, so you got the British colony of Palestine. Who is living there at that time?
So at that point, prior to World War II, it was mostly Arabs, mostly Palestinians. You know, this is Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, and it's the 5786 year in the Jewish calendar. Mm-hmm. Judaism started in that same land of Palestine and Israel. After World War II, after the horrors of the Holocaust and 6 million Jews being killed in Europe, gassed, you know, in Hitler's gas chambers, there was a sense that Jews needed a place to live that was safe. You know, there had had pogroms in Russia. There'd been prejudice, anti-Semitism in the United States. And so many of the refugees who were left after World War II, you know, went back to Palestine. And since the early 20th century, there had been some Jewish settlements there, you know, beginning to till the land and other sorts of things. But the greater movement of Jews back to Israel happened after the horrors of the Holocaust. But the roots go way, way back to 5,786.
So the people that were living there, when we say Palestinians, how are we defining them? That's based on the area that they're from or the fact that it was the colony of Palestine. That's why we're calling them Palestinian.
Yeah, the land was called Palestine. It's called Palestine in, you know, in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And in the same way that, you know, the Arab population of Egypt are called Egyptians, population of Jordan, Jordanian, Syria, etc., that they're, you know, that you take the name from the area in which you were a colony, a country. And these are people who have, you know, family roots going back many, many generations in that area. A lot of them were turned into refugees, and you know, in the wars in 1948, the 1967 war, Israel took over these areas, Gaza and the West Bank. That Gaza had been part of Egypt, and the West Bank had been part of Jordan. So, you know, these are people, you know, both peoples have deep historic and religious roots to the region. And the great, you know, tragedy and frustration is each one's trying to deny the other's roots.
Man, it just seems like you can make a case for either one if you go back to what happened in the 1940s. So after that, the Arab countries didn't want the Israelis there. The Israelis said, we have a right to be there. So the Israelis just claimed all of the land, or is that what happened?
Well, again, 1948, the Arab countries of the world tried to eliminate Israel. They just they didn't want any state of Israel there, flat out.
Okay.
And over the years, the different war. And so the main part of Israel from, say, 1948 to 67 was mostly what the UN had authorized. In 67, when Israel fought against six Arab states to preserve its existence, it took over areas that had been, you know, part of Jordan, part of Egypt, that were supposed to be part of this Palestinian state. And, you know, I have many colleagues and friends who were pretty high ranking in the Israeli, you know, military establishment and intelligence establishment, who often said there's no guarantee that with a Palestinian state we will be secure, but there's no way we will be secure without a Palestinian state.
That is exactly what I thought, Bruce, but I didn't phrase it as eloquently in my thoughts because I thought, well, what we're doing now is not working, so maybe try it a different way. British Canada, Australia formally recognized the Palestinian state on Sunday, but where do the Arab nations feel about this, and who is it that has to come to the table in order for any kind of peace, at least on the surface, to exist? Bruce Jennelson, our guest, professor of public policy, political science at Duke. He previously worked in the State Department and on the Middle East peace process. You hear him talk about his colleagues, so he knows the players. He knows what's going on here. 651, 9 till 7, traffic now, WWL. Hi, 657, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Bruce Jennelson, professor of public policy, political science at Duke University, previously worked in the State Department and on the Middle East peace process. So Britain, Canada, Australia formally recognized a Palestinian state on Sunday. Where do the Arab nations feel about this? How do they feel about this?
142 countries have actually recognized an independent Palestinian state. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but it's really a statement of principle and intent. All the Arab countries have recognized it. Countries like Iran, which is not Arab, Persian, have recognized it. But 142 out of 190 is a pretty big number. You know, the key remains what the United States is going to do, because Israel, of course, opposes it. And as I said before, a whole lot of people in Israel believe Israel would be more secure if there was a Palestinian state and it was done right. So it's a push against the United States, the Trump policies, and what Israel's done in the last 2 years by the countries that you mentioned, which had not taken that position before. They'd always said, well, let's see where the negotiations go. And now they're saying they really need to go in that direction.
So where would this Palestinian state be if they were to create it?
It would be in Gaza and the West Bank. And then there's kind of agreements. I don't want to get into weeds here, but mm-hmm. some what they call territorial swaps. Some of the Israeli settlements around Jerusalem have expanded into the West Bank. They're almost like suburban areas. They would stay part of Israel, and other parts of Israel would go to the Palestinians. So it would be about 97% of what the UN originally promised that would be the Palestinian state. And you'd have to link Gaza and the West Bank. They're not that far away from each other. You can do it through bridges, tunnels. I mean, there are a whole variety of techie ways to do that.
So it would just seem to me that what we're doing now, it has not been working for a long time. Israel could be as safe with the backing of the United States if they create a Palestinian homeland in that area. Is there any real argument to be made that Israel is going to be more threatened than they are now?
Oh, yeah. A lot of people feel that way. A lot of people in the United States feel that way. A lot of people in Israel feel that way. But as you said, it's a real debate. You know, it's not when you say you want a Palestinian state, it doesn't mean you're anti-Israel. I think it actually means that you support Israel and support the Palestinians.
It's become so politicized. Thank you, Bruce. Appreciate it. We'll be back. WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors. From fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.